You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel. All right, well, tomorrow it is, it's been a few weeks since we chatted. A lot has gone on since then. How you doing?
Good. I'm holding up all right.
For those of you who are listening on audio and not watching the video, you are wearing a Bulls hat. And we were just talking about the Bulls and the Last Dance and how much we enjoyed watching that. And apparently that's quite the shared movie amongst you and your family.
Yeah. I mean, my mom, like, she started, like, catch on more and just like, because my dad always has it on. So it's like now she got to tune in a little bit. And she really doing it just so she knows what me, my dad, and Trey, my brother, like, are talking about all the time, because it's nonstop. Like, we'll be on the phone. Like, we'll all just be dying laughing and she don't know what we're talking about.
Now, do you take exception, or did your dad take exception with anything in the movie, or did he think it was a pretty accurate representation of, you know, the impact Michael had and especially the impact of his teammates? Because I think Scotty, you know, took a few issues with it and maybe not being given the credit that he thought he deserved.
Yeah. Well, I think it did his job mainly, like, for Michael Jordan, just because, like, I wasn't able to, like, actually watch him. So, like, all I've seen is, like, stats and highlights, but just, like, knowing, like, kind of his story and stuff that happened, you know, away from hoop, and just understanding who he was as a person more. But then more so, just, like, really getting the perspective of other people how good of a basketball player he was. That was just, like, that was – it did his job. Like, it accomplished that, the Last Dance did. And, I mean, with Scotty, I mean, he probably could have got shown more love. I mean, but you saw, like – the relationship that they had with Jerry Krause and how that went left real quick. So,
yeah,
I don't know if that was the reason or not, but I liked it. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it was phenomenal. It was so great reliving those times. Those teams were amazing to be able to watch in real time. It seems like it would be so strange, you know, having your every move kind of documented like that with a camera. I'm sure by that point, Michael was just used to it, so it wasn't that big of a deal. And, I mean, you guys get that to a very, very small extent with, you know, the video team at IU filming practices so they can, you know, use them for social media videos and stuff. Is that odd at all, you know, when you guys are out practicing and there's just video cameras there, you know, taping you and capturing stuff, or is that just kind of normal for you at this point?
I would say it's normal. And, like, before, like, I ever did, like, start playing basketball and, like, cameras were there, because, like, it was a long point in my life, like, me playing basketball. Like, it, you know, cameras on the baseline, we all just here watching the game. Like, the only people who's seeing this is people that's here. So it's like, so I would always think to myself, like, am I going to, like, be worrying about the cameras being there, you know, when the cameras in my games? But I don't even think about it, because it's like, we're here to play basketball anyway. Like, they just another person watching, really.
Yeah.
But.
Well, speaking of people watching, you got to experience a true Assembly Hall crowd last Thursday night for the Purdue game, which was, you know, there's kind of your normal Assembly Hall crowds, and then there's kind of like the next level for a big game. And then there's like the transcendent ones that people are like telling their kids about. Like, I'm sure you've heard people talk about, you know, the IU Kentucky game and the watch shot. And there's other ones, you know, you might hear the Marco Killingsworth game. And like, there's these certain games where the crowd was just on another level. And I obviously wasn't there, but all the accounts that I heard is that the Purdue game crowd was on that level. Fans, you know, waiting hours before, just crazy inside. From your perspective, getting to experience that for the first time, what was that scene like?
It was, I mean, it definitely lived up to what we thought it was going to be. It exceeded my expectations, because, like, leading up to it, I'm like, okay, I know the game going to be sold out. Like, I know, because, like, I mean, we playing our rival, but it's like, it was different than actually seeing it. Like, I wake up, they send the videos in the group chat, yo, they've been out here since 8 a.m. Like, 8 in the morning, we don't play too. Like, what? It was 7, so it's like, I mean, and then just, like, actually being in it and seeing, like, every seat, full. I mean, it was like the energy was unmatched. Like, I mean, you could see that our play reflected that, but that was an out-of-body experience, especially like that being my first time like being on the court. Like when the fans rushed the court, I was like, yo, this is like stuff I watch, like that I've always watched. So it was just, it was a crazy experience. Like leading up to it, like the whole day, everybody telling me like people that have been here for a long time, like mainly like the doctors and all that, like you about to see a real Assembly Hall atmosphere. They asked me, we talked about the next day. I said, yeah, you was right. Because, oh boy, I couldn't hear that in warm-ups.
Really?
Couldn't hear nothing in warm-ups. KL talking to me, he just, his mouth just moving. So, yeah.
So what is the impact, like when you're actually playing on the court, you know, because you got in, had some good minutes, made some plays. Like once the game starts, does it kind of fade into the background when it's a crowd like that? Or are you aware of it? And is it like giving you energy and like you're feeding off of it? Like how does it impact you when you're actually playing?
I would say we aware of it, but that's not where our focus is. Like now it's like, okay, we're trying to execute and, you know, make plays to help us win this game. So it's like, but we know we got the crowd with us and we know the energy they bring it. So it's like, you know, we know certain plays and, you know, just getting stops and going on runs, you know, that'll get them into it more and, you know, give us a little bit more energy. I mean, just to play hard. But so,
yeah,
I mean, it's not like, so yeah, yes, we're aware of it. I'm aware of it, but it's like, we still got something to do. Like, okay, they here. We seen that in warm-ups, but it's like, we still got to, we got business to take care of.
Yeah. Now, how aware were you of kind of the context of the game entering it? You know, because, I mean, IU Purdue crowds are always big, but obviously a big part of the reason why this one was so big is we've lost 9 in a row to them. This was Coach Woodson's, you know, kind of first game back against Purdue, and there were massive expectations on the part of fans that, hey, let's end this streak and, you know, kind of start something new. Were you guys aware of that? Did you talk about that at all? You know, like losing 9 in a row and like all that stuff, or was that not something that was really mentioned?
Like, of course, like we know about it. Like the players, some of the players here, like we're going through it. So it's like, of course we knew, but like our focus was just like, you know, we still got to play this game. Like, it's not like we still got to go out there and play. So, yeah. You know, our focus was just towards, you know, executing the game plan and, you know, going out there and just playing to win, you know, and, so, like, we, of course, like, you know, we knew about the streak and all that, but we're more so focused on, you know, the numbers on the scoreboard at the end of the game.
Yeah. Well, and they were good. What was that moment like when you're on the court and the fans all start rushing in? I mean, I'm sure it's exciting, but is it, like, nerve-wracking at all? Is it scary at all when all those fans are coming on the court?
Yeah, it did get a little nerve-wracking because, like, I was, like, moving. I'm thinking I'm about to roll my ankle. Like, hey. Push me, but I'm like, I got my ankles taped, but still though, like, I mean, and the only other thing I was like, concerned about, I'm like, hold on, so I don't think somebody, people got some mask, they don't got their mask on.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody came in here sick. But other than that, but that was like an afterthought. When I was in it, I blacked out. Like, I was just like, like, it was like I said, like, that's something I've only seen in like, thought of, so it coming to, so that like coming to life for me, I mean, that was a great experience, and not just for me, but for the whole team, just because, like you said, like we were aware of the streak, but more than that, you know, we just knew we had a opportunity to go do something, you know, like really good for our team. So yeah, that was the focus, and you know, so that was a great experience with the entire team, like for the whole guys, for all the guys.
You know, in one of our earlier conversations, you talked about, you know, your relationship with Rob, you know, and kind of how much of a mentor he's been, you know, for you as, you know, when you got on campus and just, you know, kind of, you know, working out together and what you've learned from him. And I'm curious, you know, kind of what it's like, you know, seeing the impact Coach Woodson has had on him and the game that, you know, Rob has against Purdue, you know, and Coach Woodson has, you know, his great quote that week that's, you know, basically to the extent of, look, you know, I know you've had your struggles before. I don't care about that. You're playing for Coach Woodson now, and Coach Woodson loves you. You know, I've got your back. You know, everybody saw the video from, you know, from after the game. What is it like playing for a coach that says things like that and, you know, backs it up with spending time having one-on-one conversations and continuing to give a guy playing time, even if he's struggling? What is that like?
I would say, first of all, it's reassuring, you know, just to know that he does see you, like he loves you, like he knows, he notices what you're doing. But beyond that, it's like when you're in the heat of a battle and like you're in the heat of a moment and he's on you, whether it's in practice or a game, like because we understand more who he is as a person, it's like, you know, we totally get what's going on. Like it's all coming from a good place. So I would say, you know, just knowing, you know, who he is and him not being afraid to tell us, you know, exactly how he feels, you know, that it's a good thing for the team, for all the players. And like I said, like, you know, in a heat of the moment, like in the middle of a battle, like, so like the last minute of the Purdue game, like, it's just like whatever he's talking about, we all locked in and focused, and like we, you know, we know everything that he's saying to us is coming from a good place, like I said.
Yeah. Cause you have that relationship with him and you see it with the other guys.
Yeah.
If you're an entrepreneur, business owner, or marketer, you know how much your messaging matters. Bob Knight said, "All of us learn to write in the second grade. Most of us go on to do greater things." And coaches write about some writing, but not copywriting. The kind of writing that grows your business through memorable messaging and marketing. Any business can dominate the competition and win big with a world-class copywriter crafting time-saving and money-making emails, landing pages, ads, and more for you. Clay Manley from Speakeasy Sales Copy is one of the world's best, and he lends his talents to small businesses. Clay is an IU alum and an award-winning writer whose words have been trusted by Marvel, Slim Jim, Petco, and many other household names. After getting sick of helping the rich get richer, he left corporate copywriting to focus on helping small businesses grow. If your business could benefit from stronger messaging, then contact Clay at clay@speakeasysalescopy.com. And as a listener of the show, you can sample his proven playbook of million-dollar messaging secrets for free. Just go to speakeasysalescopy.com/scoop for more. That's speakeasysalescopy.com/scoop. This could be your banner year, and your copy is the X factor. Contact Clay at Speakeasy Sales Copy today.
So I want to go back to actually even the game before the Purdue game, which, you know, seems like it was months ago, but it was, you know, just like a week and a half ago. But that that January 17th game on Martin Luther King Day against Nebraska, you know, you guys go up there, get your first road victory of the season, which was obviously important. But playing on Martin Luther King Day, what did that mean to you and to the rest of the guys?
I mean, Coach, like that was the first thing that he like spoke about when we got to Nebraska that morning for shoot around, like, you know, just Martin Luther King and his impact on the world and, you know, just him being so grateful for him, just because he's like, if it wasn't for him, I might not be standing here talking to you guys. So, I mean, just how important he was to not just Black people, but all people. So, I mean, and that was a big time moment, you know, for my family, you know, just also considering the work that my dad does. So, you know, Black history is something that's, you know, really important to my family. So, you know, that was a great moment. And, you know, especially for us to get our first road win on that day, it was a big time.
Yeah. Can you describe the work that your dad does in a little more detail?
Yeah, he is a diversity and equity coordinator for Shawnee Mission School District. So, you know, he travels around like to other schools, but obviously they have like, he like works at like the main office for the school district. So, I mean, he goes around like to the schools and does, you know, different workshops and, you know, all types of different work. I mean, obviously he could, like when we get him on here, he could talk more about it, but.
Yeah, that's one thing we haven't really gotten a chance to talk with him about yet. Yeah. It'd be really interesting to dive into it more. Yeah. What, you know, What kind of impact has that work had on you, do you think, in your perspective, just on the world and the organizations that you're a part of?
Well, I would say it's just giving me a better sense of like understanding and actually like, you know, learning and having knowledge about the things that are going on right now and just the history of it all and how like some of the or the same things that are happening right now is what was going on, you know, way before my time, my dad's time, like 200 years ago type. So it's like just learning about that and just realizing that, you know, it's something, it's just in a different form now. I mean, it's just, I mean, I would say that's the impact for me just because, like, I actually, you know, have somebody who knows exactly, like, what's going on right now in my household. So it's like, for me, it's just about, like, learning and knowing what's going on and, you know,
yeah,
how it's been an issue for some time now.
Well, you know, and I mean, and I'm sure you know this, but I mean, you're on an incredible campus when it comes to, you know, diversity initiatives. I mean, going back to, you know, the late Herman Wells, you know, who did so much, you know, with diversity, with helping to integrate the Big Ten with Bill Garrett and so many other things that he did. And there are so many different organizations, you know, on the Bloomington campus that, you know, that help work on those issues. And obviously, I mean, you're playing basketball, you've got school. I mean, there's so many different things kind of pulling at your time. Do you have time to like explore some of those organizations and opportunities and get involved in that kind of stuff? Or is it, I'm sure it's especially hard during the season, but is that something that you kind of have time to get involved with?
No, I personally haven't had time to, you know, see what those groups are talking about, but
yeah.
I mean, that probably would be a good idea just to, you know, go and see if I can fit some time in there to, you know, peek my head in the door, you know, see what's going on.
Yeah. Do you know the story of Bill Garrett?
No, I don't.
Okay. We may need to do one of our episodes about Bill Garrett because I think you'd love the story. And I know you're a reader. We talked about you being a reader. I may send you a book about Bill Garrett. He's one of the great players in Indiana history. And he was actually the player who broke the gentleman's agreement in the Big Ten to, you know, where basically there's a gentleman's agreement not to play black players. And Bill Garrett, thanks to the courage of Herman Wells and Branch McCracken, his coach at the time, was the first player to play and was phenomenal. You know, I think he was a Big Ten MVP. He was an incredible player. So it's a great story. I mean, Indiana has been at the forefront of a lot of initiatives like that. So it's a, that would be that it's a story that you would really like and really appreciate, I think.
Yeah.
And your dad would too. Well, that's great. I mean, I thought it was great, you know, that they were able to do that tribute, you know, obviously great that you guys were able to get the win. You know, over the last few weeks, you know, kind of since the last time that we talked, you know, your minutes haven't been what they were. And for a guy that's as competitive as you are, you know, and you're a team first guy, but you want to be out there. What's it been like for you, you know, kind of staying mentally prepared, you know, for your opportunities when they come, even though they haven't come quite as often over the last few weeks?
Well, for me, just my love and obsession, you know, with the game will want me to, you know, or will me to stay ready. I mean, like you said, like it's not just for me, you know, it's for the team. So, you know, if 5-3 get called on, you know, I'm going to go, you know, take the candy stripes off and go to war. So that's my mindset. And I mean, when you, like going through stuff like this, I want to like go back and see like other guys who have like went through stuff like this, like at whatever level, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's the same thing. And it's really just, you know, adversity. So, you know, like Damian Lillard was talking about it earlier this season. And he was just like, you know, he uses moments like these, you know, like struggles like this to really show his true character. And I really like that. And it's an interview. I got it saved on my phone, but I mean, just, you know, seeing or listening to, you know, what his mindset is, you know, when you are struggling, things not going your way. And beyond that, or just not playing, not getting the minutes that you would, you know, want to. But, you know, that's not really my, you know, concern, because, you know, I feel like, you know, if I stay ready and, you know, continue to do what I'm doing for the team that, you know, people don't see or do see, I mean, that's not the case. You know, we're just trying to, you know, win games. So,
yeah,
you know, I figure out what I need to do. But in terms of the team, you know, we all good. Like, you know, not me just being a team first guy. Like, that's what our coach preaches, team. So, you know, that's not the main focus for me. You know, just always wanting to work anyway. You know, that's just me. So.
Well, and, you know, it's been noticeable. I mean, Anthony Leal is another guy who, you know, has gone from starting to not playing as much. And, you know, same thing with Christian. He was getting more minutes earlier in the season, not getting as many now. And I think what a lot of people have noticed is that you guys on the bench have brought the same kind of energy, you know, because it's been noticeable on past Indiana teams that, you know, the bench engagement and energy hasn't always been there, like conspicuously so. And for you guys, it's not that. I mean, you know, they always like flash over to you whenever someone makes a 3-pointer and you're kind of doing like your little dance, you know, and Anthony's like jumping up. And, you know, is that talked about like by the coaches, the role that the bench can play, you know, even if you're not playing, and the energy, is that something that you guys talk about, or is that just kind of a natural manifestation of, you know, of your natural attitudes?
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody has a, you know, a great attitude, you know, just across the board. But, you know, amongst the players, like, you know, we talk about it, because everybody's going to end up being on the bench at some point. So it's like, you know, whether we at home or on the road, we always got to support each other, you know, because, you know, it's just us, those 17 guys down there, including the coaches. So it's like, you know, no matter what, you know, we all, like, we going to stay together. So, you know, we want to show, you know, that we're a team during the games. And like I said, just our love for the game, you know, and just, you know, being happy to see your brother succeed, you know, that's where that come from. Like, it's all love. Like, that's what we gonna show. And, you know, just watching the games, I mean, you can't just, there's no, I mean, I can't just sit there and watch. You know, I'm gonna show some emotion. Mm-hmm. you know, just seeing guys out there, you know, playing well, that I'm with every day. I see the work they put in. I mean, so it's like, I love to see it, you know, come to fruition, you know, in the games.
Yeah. You know, now that you guys are 90 games, I think, you know, a couple months, you know, now that, you know, you've been at this for a little while, what's been the biggest transition for you, you know, going from high school to the college game? You know, what do you think has been the hardest thing to adapt to so far?
I don't think it's been too difficult, honestly. I mean, I would say just the only real difference is like the games is like either like 2 days between. I would just like the games, you know, being so close in days. But other than that, like from the actual game, I mean, it's not hard to, you know, pick up on speed or anything, because it's like this is a level that, you know, that I know I can play at, and so do the coaches. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, as the years went on, you know, I've been continuing to improve defensively. And that's like what I tell my guys, like from IMG or just like in high school, I'm like, bro, like real life, like you got to play defense. Like you had, like you got to, like, so it's like, I would say that's like the other, like the biggest change on the court. Cause it's like every possession matters. Like teams is too good. Like if you're not playing defense, obviously you can score too, but it's like, it's hard to win when you can't get stops.
Yeah.
See that, you know, in the Michigan game, you know, it's not, you know, having that same energy defensively, you can't, it's hard to win. It's hard to win when you can't get stops.
Mm-hmm.
You go on a little mini run, but then they come back and score 5 points, 4 points. It's like, now you right back where you was. You know, you got to get stopped. So, you know, I would say that's the other.
It's interesting you say that, you know, because typically, you know, when freshmen come in, people expect that's going to be one of the biggest transitions, you know, is defense. Now, is it, what is it specifically about defense? Is it the commitment to doing it every single possession and not taking a possession off? Is it like a different level of how hard you have to play consistently? Is it just kind of the schemes and more to pay attention to? Like, I'm curious, kind of digging in, what is it specifically about the defense that is the biggest challenge?
I would say you just got to know what's going on. Like, cause yeah, you got a few days to prepare. So, you know, you're going over the scout and all that. So it's like, it's not, and we get so much film. It's like, it's no, obviously like players are going to make plays, but I mean, it's like, other than that, you still got to know what's going on when you're on the floor and execute the scout defensively. So I would say that's really the thing, because I mean, in high school, I would say like we watch film and like know what teams is doing, but I mean, it's like more like actual sets and stuff being ran to get people open. So,
yeah. So just being prepared for what they're going to do, knowing your assignment, knowing right. the tendencies of the guys that you're guarding, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's just like boxing out, rebounding, like what people call like the little stuff. I think that's like the most important stuff of the game. Like not letting the other team get offensive rebounds, you know, taking charges, blocking out, you know, limiting them to one shot. Like that's like the most important stuff. So it's like, I wouldn't call that the little things.
That's the little things that add up to the big stuff, yeah. You know? Yeah, it is. Support for the Inside Scoop is also presented by Home Field Apparel, the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And our friends at Home Field Apparel, they have the widest and most extensive collection of vintage IU apparel that you will find anywhere. And as I'm sure you've come to know, it's not just IU. They started with IU stuff and the Bison logo that kind of took everybody by storm, and they just did a brand refresh, so they keep adding to their IU collection. But they're also adding other schools like crazy. They have, I think, 120 schools now. And so as you're looking to shop for yourself or for the IU fan in your life, or even folks who didn't go to Indiana, Home Field Apparel is the place to go for excellent fitting, ridiculously comfortable, washable, vintage gear that really makes a statement about your fandom. And so go to homefieldapparel.com, use the promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, to get 15% off your first order. That's homefieldapparel.com, promo code H-O-M-E. Now, back to the Inside Scoop. You guys obviously have access to Cook Hall. How does that work exactly? Are you able, like, if you want to go get shots up at 2 o'clock in the morning, can you get into Cook Hall and just go shoot?
Yeah, we all got, like, our little cards.
Yeah. So do you, you know, like, if you're struggling with your shot or have a bad practice, I know, you know, the way I always used to be is just, but I was a shooter. I would just want to go shoot, just get shots up and work out my frustrations. And it was probably one of my favorite things to do, is just be in an empty gym shooting a basketball, and I could do it forever. What is your kind of like routine look like? Like when you're going to get a workout in, what does it look like? And are you typically just like kind of going in by yourself? Do you bring someone in there with you to rebound? Like, how does that typically go?
I mean, I work out with one of our GAs, Isaac, with two of them, Isaac yeah. and Jacob and Nick. So really, like mainly I work out with Isaac. So it's like, you know, we'll just work on, you know, getting game shots. Game looks, obviously working on finishes, tightening up the handle, because it's like everything on the floor, like you can't, like it's never good enough. Like you can always fine tune, keep getting better. So, I mean, it's never about like obviously, like, you know, if you are struggling with something, you'll work on it. But other than that, I mean, it's just, you know, things that you'll do in the game that I do in the game.
Do you have a set pregame routine that you follow?
I do. For home games, I do, yeah. So I'll shoot around, then we'll have the meal. And then I'll go to chapel. Then I would go back to the locker room. I chill in there, and I always work out before every game. So I'll be like the first one out, the only people out there be like the security, the red jackets.
Mm-hmm. So you like work out like lift before games?
Nah, like on the court.
Oh, okay. Just like, okay. Yeah, we'll work out on the court. Okay.
Yeah. Work out on the court before the games. And like if it's like mad time, I might go home, but usually I stay there. I like get some treatment before the game. I read. And then I go work out. I come back, get in the shower. I'm going to be fresh for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Get dressed. I read some more, get taped. You know, get my shoes on, walk down, go to the locker room. And then, so by that time, I got like 10 minutes until like our actual warm up with Coach Cliff starts. So I read for like 5 more minutes. My book up, and then right there, start shooting around, and we got our same pregame routine. And then on the road, it's pretty much the same thing. When I shoot around, come back. But no, it's not the same thing. When I shoot around, we'll come back, have a snack, then I'll be able to go take a little nap.
Mm-hmm.
Then we come back for the actual pregame meal, go to chapel. Then I go back up to my room and read. Because then we got way more time before we about to leave. But then I'll go get to, we always get taped in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to the game.
Now, what are you reading typically? Do you read a different book? Reading from the same book all the time?
I've been reading the same book as of lately. It's The Garden by John Gordon. Then I have Kobe's book. Gotta have this.
Very nice. Mamba Mentality.
Cool. Man. In this book, but
I'm pretty sure my dad was reading that book last time I went home. He's a big John Gordon fan.
Yeah, I'm about to get some more, and then some more books from John Gordon. And then other than that, Coach Cliff gave us like this, the Athlete's Bible.
Yeah.
So I got that, and I read a little bit of that. And then other than that, I'm not reading. I probably just like be watching something that the other team, like
mm-hmm. on my phone. What is it about John Gordon that you connect with?
I mean, I would just say, you know, his perspective and the way he talks about, you know, getting through adversity. And this book has like, it's a spiritual fable about ways to overcome fear, anxiety, and stress. So just the topics that he talks about, and just like, he had another book like about, you know, bringing the same energy, being the same you every day. That I'm about to get. So it's like just things that I feel like can, you know, help me in my life and the people around me. You know, I typically try to give books like that. But I got this one, John Gordon, like my AAU coach, he sent me that book.
Really?
Yeah, so like he told me about him, and it was like, he'll send me some more. So. And then my dad's about to send me a few. So
is he?
Yeah.
It's good. Sounds like the perfect kind of topics to be reading about before you're getting ready to play.
Yeah.
That's cool. What as we wrap up here, you know, you've now been on the road a few times and been on the road in the Big Ten. You know, went to Iowa, went to Penn State, went to Nebraska. So you've kind of started to see, you know, the challenge of winning on the road in the Big Ten. What makes it so much different? You know, I feel like, you know, obviously your routine is different than when you're at home. But what is it about being on the road in the Big Ten that is such a challenge?
I would say the main difference is just like you got to be sharper on the road. Like you can't turn the ball over. You got to rebound. Got to get shots. You got to be locked in the whole 40 minutes. Because when you at home, like you kind of. Like the other team, you always, you know, no matter what you do, you always gonna have the crowd behind you, you know, what's giving you some kind of energy. But it's like on the road, you got to bring your own energy and just, you know, have a killer mentality. And, you know, something that we started to talk about, like amongst each other, we was like, yo, we got to have like more energy on the bench, like, cause nobody else cheering for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we gotta do something. So, you know, when we start going on the road, that was when we start talking about that, like amongst the players.
That's a good realization to have. Have you noticed a difference now, you know, in kind of your focus and bringing energy when you're on the road since you had that conversation?
I mean, yeah, the focus has always, you know, been the same, but it's just like, you know, when you lose, you know, it's a lesson in all of them. You know, when games are coming down to two or three possessions, you know, that's when you like, you know, we're playing good enough to win on the road. We just gotta finish. We gotta play the full 40 minutes. So
yeah. Are you a Chiefs fan?
Big time Chiefs fan.
Are you? I figured. What'd you think of that game?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, bro. It's like I'm glad we have the Chiefs, like, because not having an NBA team, it's like, all we got is baseball, football. So it's like, dang, like, I need somebody to be winning. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and it's so much sweeter. It's so much sweeter. Because in the beginning of the season, we was 1-4. Everybody was like, oh, yeah, the Chiefs is done. They didn't figure Patrick Mahomes out. 10-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. So it's like, you know, you just, you know, them, you know, really just embodying, you know, the city, and just like, because, you know, people don't really, you know, care for Kansas City. You know, we in the heart of America. You know, we going to go hard. Like, we going to grind.
And, mm-hmm. You know,
so it's like, we always going to believe, you know, we can, you know, go further and, you know, do more than just, you know, staying home. So, you know, me being one of those guys is big time for my city, because obviously, you know, most cities had a fair share of people who didn't make it.
Yeah.
So, you know, just being able to, you know, get out of the city and again, like, you know, having the Chiefs, big time. You know, well, I got to see. The only thing about the Super Bowl is like, first of all, we got to beat the Bengals. Like, it's a good team. But just like the Bills, they beat us earlier this season. We had to get our revenge. Like, come on, we ain't forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bengals is in that same situation now. But now y'all in my crib.
Mm-hmm.
Now we at the crib. So it should be a good one. But I don't like how they got the Super Bowl in L.A. because if the Rams win and then the Chiefs win, I'm like, yo, it's a repeat of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl was in Florida. And I was in Florida because I was at IMG. So I'm watching the game at a hotel with my mm-hmm. auntie. And I'm with everybody else from Florida. I'm at a Tampa, like, watch party. Like, we the only ones in there cheering for the Chiefs. So it's like, I'm not going to be in L.A., but still, though, it's like, I don't know why they do that. Like, when you see all the teams in the bracket, like, you should, like, all the teams that make the playoffs, all right, we got to make the playoffs in another city. Like, it can't be none of them. I was trying to say the Rams not going to make it anyway. No. Now look at you. If they win, we're about to get it done. We've been in that position before.
On the bright side, though, I mean, Super Bowl crowds are so weird. Have you ever been to a Super Bowl before?
I haven't.
So I went. So my dad was a scout for the 49ers back when they went to the Super Bowl and played in New Orleans against Baltimore, the one where, like, the power went out for 45 minutes, which was mm-hmm. the weirdest experience ever, actually being in the stadium. But it's like, you know, each fan base gets, like, their allotment of tickets. But, I mean, the rest of the tickets are all people who have a lot of money and don't necessarily have, like, you know, a specific allegiance, mm-hmm. you know, so it's not necessarily going to be like a pro Rams crowd or anything if the Chiefs go there. Plus, the Chiefs have so many fans all over the place, you know, they'll travel as well as anybody. So it shouldn't be much of an advantage for LA or San Francisco.
Yeah.
All right. So last question on that, though, because that game was amazing. The Bills Chiefs game. And I know you were happy with the result. And I know when the overtime coin toss came up and it came to the Chiefs, you were happy and everybody knew they were going to score because neither defense could stop them. But put yourself in the shoes of Josh Allen and imagine being over there and not getting a chance to get the ball in overtime.
Yeah.
How would that make you feel, do you think?
That's tough. Like, yeah, I was talking about it today. I'm like, because, like, people, of course, are saying, like, the rule got to change. And it was like, if the Chiefs would have lost the toss, then you would have been saying the rule need to change. And honestly, I probably wouldn't have said that. I would have thought it, but it wouldn't have been my main focus. But still, though, like, mm-hmm. I feel for him. Because it's like, he said it in an interview, he was like, if we would have won the coin toss, we'd be the one celebrating. So it's like, it's tough. So I think the rule should be changed, because it's like, you don't get to stop, or if they score, it's it. Like, so I don't get that.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, they're trying to shorten the game, limit the potential for injuries.
Yeah.
You got to give both QBs one chance.
I feel like they should give both teams a chance. And it's like, if they score and then they get a stop, then they win.
Yeah.
Like, y'all both get one chance to score.
Yeah.
But then, if they do score, now they got to get a stop. Because if they score again, now y'all both had one chance.
Yeah, and then that's fine. Then it's whoever scores next. But at least give both QBs the ball.
Yeah,
got to do it.
Because both like that game, like, you see the stats, like, the quarterbacks, like, not just both teams, like, that was a crazy game. Like, they, like, I got mad respect for the Bills. Like, and I was saying it before the game. I'm like, you know, we got a tough matchup. So it's like, you know, if we don't come out on top, it's not like I won't be too upset, because it's like, we lost to a really good team.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Well, cheering for Pat Mahomes, that's it's a good team to cheer for. You've always got a chance. Always got a chance.
Blessed. We got blessed. Because
that is for sure.
Because like the past, like 10 years before he even got there, like when I was little, we always had good players, but it was our quarterback. We never depended on him for real. Like, it was like, he was, because we had Matt Cass, we had Alex Smith. Alex Smith was better.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, we didn't know, you know, what we was gonna get from him. Pat Mahomes, he out there throwing sidearm, no looks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good. He running the ball. He brushing. So it's like, we got one, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, there's a big difference between just a good, serviceable quarterback and a superstar quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he is.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is what he is. Well, hey, man, thanks for taking the time. Obviously, the game against Michigan didn't go as you guys wanted to, but big opportunity Wednesday against Penn State, and then you're on the road at Maryland. So wish you luck in those games, and obviously we'll be cheering for you when you get your opportunities to get out there to go make plays and show what you can do.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Cool. Thanks, Tamar. We'll talk again soon.
All right.
And that will do it for this edition of the Inside Scoop with Tamar Bates. Thank you for being here and for listening and for sharing. If you're enjoying these episodes, make sure that you share it with another IU fan who you think might enjoy it. Thanks to Tamar for coming and always being so well-prepared and candid with his answers, really giving us a lot of insight as we go through this season. Thank you to our sponsors, Speakeasy Sales Copy, the presenting sponsor for the Inside Scoop with Tamar Bates. Make sure that you go to speakeasysalescopy.com to see how Clay can help you drive more results to your business. And our friends at Homefield Apparel, the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. You can go to homefieldapparel.com, use the promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, for 15% off your entire order. And thank you to Bob Thompson for creating the theme song for the Inside Scoop. Appreciate you being here and listening. Share it far and wide if you're enjoying it. And we'll talk to you on the next episode of the Inside Scoop.